pray. Well, not just pray, Lord. We just want to, Lord, we know we're in your presence. We know that you're here, Lord, because you tell us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. But, Lord, we also know that we need eyes to see and ears to hear from you. Lord, the faith to even believe. And, Lord, we know all those things are gifts from you. So, Lord, we ask that you would increase our faith, Lord, in you, so that as we hear, Lord, that we can just settle our hearts and just walk in the things, the revelation of Jesus. Lord, we're not looking to add things to our doctrine, Lord, but we want to know you more. And we ask, Lord, that you would just continue to do your work in and through us, Lord, and we thank you that your mercies are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. So we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, probably be a little shorty here today.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, but Matthew 6, I know I've been talking the last few weeks about, or the last few times, of really how the Lord's really impressed upon just to seek his face. And so I want to look at Matthew 6, verses 5 to 8, because no one probably ever taught this before, you never read this, or something's new. Just kidding. But it says in verse 5 of Matthew 6, is when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who is in secret will reward you openly. Really, that's the verse I want to talk about. But, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions. Anyway, as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. I'm stopping because Jesus just said, don't use vain repetitions. And in my heart, I've never understood how we can always say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, when he just got done saying, this is not to be vain repetition. It's supposed to be a heart cry and a desire for the Lord, not to be repeated verbatim, nonstop, as a mantra, not without any heart and desire to know the Lord. But really the one, what the Lord was like just really showing me this week and Ben's showing me, is when you pray, verse 6, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. This is not teaching against corporate prayer, so we're not saying that at all. But there is something about entering into the presence of the Lord on your own, just between you and him. Shut the door, whatever it is, to be alone with the Lord to remove distractions. This isn't a law. It's just good. It's heavenly advice. That the Lord wants us to come to him in a secret place. He's not wanting us to do things just so the world can see us. We know that. Like to stand on the street corner and pray just so people can hear our wonderful prayers and things like that. He wants us to go before his face. He wants us to sit at his face. And when it says that your Father who is in the secret will reward you openly, I want you to consider this. In Genesis, God talking to Abram, he tells Abram, I am your exceedingly great reward. So, when I look at this, it's not really like I'm coming to pray for the Lord for him for something so that when I'm out in public that I get something. For me, it's what he's saying to me is, if you seek me in the privacy and seek me with your heart, doesn't have enough. Close the door around you. Remove the distraction. then I will reward you openly, and that reward is myself. He's our exceedingly great reward. And so when I'm seeking him in my private place, he promises to reveal himself to me openly. Oh, two ways this can happen. That he can speak to my heart and reveal himself in characters and try to meet the needs. And I'm not saying, we read that he knows our needs before we pray for them. And the Lord desires to take care of our needs. But this is one of our greatest things, and that is to see him openly. See, the reward is openly. Is it because I get a gift? Or is it because the Lord reveals himself openly as I'm walking? He shows that he's answering my prayers and revealing himself day by day and ministering out in the public openly. You see, I see God when I'm seeking him privately and my eyes are towards the Lord and going after him and trying to just know him, that as I go through my day and I'm looking because I am seeking, remember it's with the expectancy to find, that when I go through my day, I expect to see him moving openly around me in other people's lives, touching other people's lives. It could be just a word from someone else, from the Lord through someone else to me, or vice versa. And so I think that a lot of times, I'm not saying that this is not true, don't hear me wrong, that we don't ask the Lord for the things we need. But our greatest need is himself, is the Lord himself. And that is who we need. So if we will take the time and see, he says that I will reward you openly. That when you're out in the open, when things are going and everybody can see you, you're going to be able to see the Lord. You're going to see your reward in the public area. As we all share and we talk about things, when I ask questions, you see, that's the Lord speaking through, we could say many waters here because we like different speakers, but different people. And as you've been seeking him on your own, and the Lord uses different times people share to minister to you, he has something to share through you, and that's him rewarding openly. Because why? Because we have a living and active God. It's not dead pages on a book. I'm not looking at these pages and trying to add things to do. I'm looking at these pages so I can know him, so he can reveal himself to me. He is the Word made flesh, right? That's what John 1 says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And so we have his Word. It's a living Word that he wants to open up and reveal to you, which is opening up himself to you, so that when we see him, we can see him moving in the public arena, in the open air. Any thoughts?
What Jesus did was, Jesus only met by himself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
And then when he went to speak to the people, the Lord showed through him.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus told the church of Philadelphia, "Behold, I set before you an open
door." An open door?
He is the door.
Yeah. Yep. Anyone else?
Yeah, I want to say something. Prayer is who he is, and prayer is who we are, because he invites us to come and receive of all who he is,
mm-hmm.
because he took interest in us and benefited with his own grace. And we didn't do anything to deserve it, but we're thankful. We become grateful, and prayer is it's not a work. A lot of people tend to think you got to go do something, and that's how we've been taught. But it's his work. But his work will work in you because he's doing the building. He's talking to you, and you're talking to him. So there's a relationship. And it's ongoing as we continue to walk from day to day, because that's our desire. You know what I mean? It's like it's something. It's a person, and we're looking forward to seeing him, and we're experiencing his presence, like you're saying. So it's interesting where the effort is took off a man, and he supplies you. Because I was reading this morning, so it is. Paul says we're weak. but he is strong. So we become weak. Come as weak, but we come to see him, well, experience him and fellowship with all who he is. So it's about a life, and it's a living, you know, the person is Jesus, you know. So it's communion where you can say, you can ask him things and he'll speak to you. So we can talk to each other. And I think it's takes the effort off of us when we can realize we enjoy him.
But here's just an example. You ever been taking time to spend time reading and then, or have a question with the Lord through his word, and then you get up and like don't feel like you have an answer, but when you're in the shower, it comes to you? Or when you're out, like it kind of hits you, or somebody says something that spurs you on to get like greater insight, that's rewarding openness as well. These are different things that the Lord, when you come to him, he's going to speak to you in many different ways and things like that. So what I'm saying is, yes, we go to seek him in private, but I also want to encourage you to be seeking for him to be moving in your area throughout the day. Opening up opportunities maybe for you to share, or just the Lord open up for someone to say something to you that you would never know, but you know it's from him. And I think that those are the things, and we need to be seeking him. Yes, we seek him in the quietness and the closet, but I'm also seeking him when I go out on the street. I'm seeking him to live and move and to be working in us the will and to do for his good pleasure. So he's going to lead us and guide us into all truth. And I always have these verses, and you guys know I share them. Most of my verses I do share are limited because I like them. And, but Hebrews 12 says, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And I say this because I know the Lord is ministering to us and we're grateful for his salvation, but he wants to take that gratefulness to share, for us to move and share it, right? To the world around us, to family, to other believers, to build them up, to encourage them. And one of the things the Lord's saying is, look, there's people hurting all around you. They're everywhere. And if we're not those who are there going out to build one another up and strengthen the hands that are hanging down, which are the people who are too tired to lift them up anymore. Remember when Moses, Joshua and Caleb, I believe, helped raise his hands and they had victory, but then when his arms would go, you know. So just throughout day-to-day life, people's arms are hanging down. They're tired. And they have feeble knees. You know, they're weary. And I think we can all relate to that. We see this world that's tired and weary and dislocated. But it says to pursue peace and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. See, if we're not trying to bring about a healing and a touch from God to these people, no one's going to see Jesus. That's what that's teaching. That if God's people aren't out there allowing the Lord to work through them and minister to the world around them, the world isn't going to see Jesus. No, without which no one will see the Lord. So these areas in our lives, as we're seeking him and going, we need to be seeking with an open mind. Okay, I'm looking after I leave this room when I go out here for you to answer. And as I'm going out, I want to be a person pursuing peace and holiness, which is before the Lord, so that people can see Jesus. It's having an outward concern for outside yourself, but the Lord has to do that work in you, which I know he does. So, to bring about a place, I mean, if we have a desire for people to see the Lord, it starts in the secret, so that he can reward openly, but as we're walking openly, we're going to be pursuing peace. We're going to be encouraging. We're going to be building one another up and strengthening one another and equipping one another for what? for another dreary day on this earth. It's for the work of the ministry that the body of Christ might be built up into all things. So, and I think that if we look out, also be looking, because the Lord will, what did he say? Don't forget to entertain strangers. Why? What's that? Might be an angel. You know, be willing just to be willing to be open to what the Lord has for whatever. Any thoughts? Any questions?
I like what Keith Green's song. Keith Green's song says, "Make my life a prayer to you." Which is a great, just a great thought there, and it ties into that. You know, our purpose is to bring glory and honor to the Lord in all that we do, and who we are. And I think the prayer thing. You know, I think we're linear. I think we're all. You know, what I'm doing in my prayer life. I don't think it's compartmentalized. I think in generations past, maybe it seemed like things were a bit more compartmentalized.
Right.
It's not. Whatever is happening in my prayer life is going to be happening to some degree in my life. And hopefully, I'm bringing glory to God in my prayer life, and that's happening through my life. And I would say, as the folks here that have been believers for a long time, I'm sure you look back and go like, oh my goodness, Lord, what did you do? Wow, what a work you did. And that's the reward openly is, you know, he creates us into, you know, into more and more his image and more glory to him.
I think it's like that, how he, remember he says in, when we were talking last week in Isaiah 58, he says, I'll be your rear guard.
Yeah.
I think when you look back at your rear guard, you're going to see how much more of the Lord's been in your life that you never even knew before. How he's guarded and protected you all the way to this point. And it's his grace and mercy going to continue to take you through day by day by his grace. And so, yeah, it is a secret place. But notice that when it doesn't say when you leave, it's over. It's we still seek him and we're going out. And I think the Lord, keep your eyes open for the Lord because he wants to minister to you. He wants to reveal himself to you. Without a revelation, my people perish. So the Lord's desire is to reveal himself to you daily, moment by moment. He does it in his word. As we get into it, he opens up his word and it opens up our heart to be, well, to his grace and mercy. And a revelation of what we are without him and how much we need him day by day. And so I just really wanted to add that. I didn't have much more. Actually, I was going to talk about Thessalonians, but a change of plan. It's really hard to get back into a book once you stop the book in the middle of the book. So we might end up just starting over basically when we come back to it. I'll just go a little faster. So anybody else, thoughts? How about, how has the Lord revealed himself to you openly since these times? Because it's a good time to testify of God's moving so people know it's real. Even in here, it's to encourage one another. Like, you're not wasting your time. You're not sitting in an empty room talking to the air or reading a book that's dead. It's life. And the Lord wants to minister. He wants to reveal himself and continue to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal. And that loyalty comes from him. Him saying it's done and trusting in him and waiting on him to do that work. So
we were at a funeral yesterday of a friend of ours that passed away at 58 years old, and this is somebody who, okay, so quick, the spouse of a guy that I grew up with but hadn't seen for probably 30 years, so a lot, 4 years ago, so we reconnected with them a bit, and then and Karen and I started praying for them. And what we were reminded of yesterday is, so what happened was, let's see here, like, well, mid last year, I think before she received a cancer diagnosis, she came to the Lord. And they had started fellowshipping. wonderful little Baptist church in the middle of nowhere, and the pastor laid out the story how over the last year and a half, what he saw the Lord doing, and the one moment, right to the moment where she and my friend both went forward and set the Lord on. And what came to mind later was, wow, you know, we were praying for her, and it's like, huh, you know, the Lord really hears our prayer. We can really pray for people, and He does hear our prayer and soften hearts and all. And it was, what a wonderful thing to have come to the Lord that late in life, and then to have had such a powerful witness among the fellowship that they're a part of, and then this friend fellowship around and all that. But that's, you know, reward openly,
yep.
Or if you want to look at it that way. But it's just amazing. I don't think we realize how much power prayer has, really. Gee. She would have been lost to eternity. And it's just amazing. Praise God. It was a wonderful celebration. Really great, great celebration. And just to hear how God worked over that year and a half, or prior to, that she came to Lord a year and a half ago. And that's just awesome. She, the reason she came to the church, and I'm sorry, this is actually glory to that whole situation, but she's a nurse. Very detailed, very much a researcher. Actually, his message in this was she prepared, you know. And she had done all these internet searches and stuff, I guess, to try to find a church. And came to visit there. And on the visitor card, she wrote, we are interested in becoming members of this church. That was day one that she came to the church. And he's like, well, that's remarkable. How would somebody do that on day one? And come to find out, talked with her, he said, the reason that we gathered, which is why you come, he said, because I looked at all these other churches, and she said, the one thing I saw in your church is what I wanted, and that was truth. I wanted to come to a place where I was going to hear truth. And that was great. Fantastic. Wonderful. Yeah. So, no laser beams, no band. Yeah.
Has the Lord spoke or shared anything to anybody this week, like through seeking Him or stuff like that? Because hey, the Creator of the universe speaking to you is as deep as anything can be.
I bet everybody has said, but you know how you'll pick up on a devotional any day, whether it be our daily bread or getting right to the book or whatever we do for a devotional, and it's like, oh my gosh.
Yep.
You know, this is exactly what I was praying about or asking the Lord about or growing about. That's amazing. You know, and I mean, I find that amazing because that God is showing you black and white. You know, like if He was sitting there in front of you, you wouldn't believe how He is. You know what I mean? I'm sure you've experienced that. But I have had a true, one of those moments, and I've never had it since, but one of those special moments where I knew then from the experience, I was crying, it was one of those bad kind of times that you go through, and God revealed Himself to me in a very powerful, it was very powerful, my tears of agony turned to laughter, and that's so true, and it was that supernatural moment that God revealed Himself to me, and He told me, to not give up, that there is hope.
Yep.
And I was just taken. I said, if anything ever happens to me in my life, and I forget this moment, I am a nutball. You know what I mean?
And that's why it's good to share.
Yeah.
To bring to remembrance the things the Lord's doing.
Amen.
And that's in your life and through.
Like, you know, He's real. Like, you can't tell other people if He is real.
It's a personal revelation of God, and it comes before, like Joe said, before faith. He reveals Himself, and then you can, you believe, you know it is true. You just know that it's true. Whatever words you hear then, I mean, you hear so much. You hear so many preachers teaching and talking, saying things. But there are some moments that you know the word spoken is a truth from God Almighty. It's like a revelation of His self to you. And it's an, you don't forget it. It cannot be forgotten. I don't believe you can ever forget that.
Chris?
Mm-hmm. I'm Chris, by the way.
Hey,
I have friends in Kansas City. It's my first time here. I've been close by. I've got some contact. I'm sure you had this sermon planned before you were to speak, or was it just in your heart?
I don't give away my secrets.
I'm getting coffee this morning, and yeah, last night you did? Okay.
And last night you said, I have no idea.
Well, I don't know if I started
the wife gave it up.
I was talking to him about the Isaac Clark prayer book. And I said, you know, I've read the very old book that said how to prepare. So many distractions we have now from praying. And it's so true. And I read this here and I was saying, you know, gave an example. If you were working for a company or you had a boss or something, or the big wig was coming, how would you prepare yourself for that big wig? You know, the person that, you know, makes everything happen, gives you your money, how would you get yourself together and conduct yourself? Well, you're talking about the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the creator of everything. You know, how are you going to prepare yourself when you get ready to pray? You know, you're going to have distractions, but you really should consider that, you know. Not have your phone, you're flipping through, and you're watching TV at the same time, I'm going to fit in our Father. No, it's, you know, you might get a little bit of signal through, but fervent prayer, to be serious about it, you should really try to go and find a quiet little place, you know. Have some really consistent, strange things happen in the past 2 days, and I've been grateful for Brother Scott to be a part of it. I'm just a great person today. Nice to be with you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to be honest. One of the hardest, like, my struggle with teaching Thessalonians is I can't get past a verse. And it just blows my mind that in verse 4 of Thessalonians 2, that the Lord, Paul's speaking of himself, but it's true for us, and I've shared it before. We have been approved by God. I don't need to read any more than that before it breaks my heart to say thank you. That's prayer. Let him motivate you through his word to interact with him. Instead of what you think you need and your desires, Lord, I cannot believe that you tell me I'm approved. Does that blow your mind or what? Not. I mean, God approves of you. If that doesn't break your heart, I don't know what will. If it doesn't want to draw you near and just say thank you, I don't know what will. Guess what? I don't say thank you enough. I forget. So we need to be reminded. Then it turns around and says that he's entrusted me. God trusts us? I think it's beautiful. Like, when I say I can't get past it, it's because when I read this, I just want to interact and just say thank you. Because other than that, nothing matters. That the Creator, the one who loves me and created me and created all everyone, says, you're approved. And I trust you. And here's what I'm trusting you with. Good news. The gospel. If anybody's crazy, it's our Lord to entrust us with anything. But he doesn't. He entrusts himself in us with what he gives us. But it should blow your mind.
He does not have the eyes to come as the person that he said. But he sees us through the eyes of Jesus. And so Jesus approves us by the acceptance.
Right. Right. Exactly. But just the simple fact that you can read these verses and he's entrusted us with the gospel. And I mean, that means that you've been approved to be given trust to receive the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. And as you receive it, you get to walk in it, because right after that, Paul says, even so we speak. Not in pleasing men, but God, who tests the heart. His revelation brings a test. Some say it's a trial. Right? If we let the enemy win, guess what? His mercies are new every morning, great is his faithfulness. But if we... I've been trying to start my seeking in my secret place, whatever you want to... I'm seeking the Lord. I've been trying to take his word and bring it back to him through prayer, because I believe what he's speaking is what he wants me to hear. And he wants to reveal and open up to me. So it's good news. I've been handed good news. And so I have been having a hard time to go back into this because I can't get past it. So I'll just go share it. And then we'll get back in it again next week and probably do it in 2 weeks. But I just think it's such a beautiful thing that he loves us enough and prepared the way to be approved. Like you said, it's the work of Jesus that brings us to a place that we can be seen as righteous in his sight. And that's good news to me. So I don't know how else to explain it or say it, but thank you, Jesus. I don't understand why you do it, but remember what we said last week, so we can be a pattern of those of God's long-suffering for salvation. Because they figure if God can speak to that, then he can speak to me. If God can save that, he can save me. And to me, it's just a thank you. And ultimately, when we get to the end of Thessalonians, Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Oh, by the way, don't quench the Spirit, which would be the opposite of what you just read. You know, so just keep praising him, thanking him, and if there's nothing else to thank him for today, that you're approved and you've been entrusted to receive the gospel. That should be enough for worship for eternity. If you can just meditate on him, really allow it to breathe. And then I think he will start rewarding you and you'll see him moving openly a lot more. Seeking helps. Look with the expectancy. And then sometimes if you have to look back, you'll see that he did things in the past. Because what we learned in Habakkuk, if he told you, we wouldn't have believed it anyway. So we'd have to look back and say, yep, he covered my butt again. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. But anything, anybody else? If not, that's it for me.
I thought of this verse, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that works in us, to him be the glory. I think what you're saying, the mysterious works that God is, just trusts us but he does trust what he's doing in me. He can do it. I don't know how he does it, but he does it.
Yeah.
Because he's working, and it's because of what he's doing.
Because he can't deny himself.
And you don't even know how he does it.
Yeah.
You know? That's his work in it.
I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's just... Yeah, you always go... You can't go wrong with sharing his word. Right? But anyway, I just want to encourage everybody just to take the time. You don't have... It does say to go in a room, but in the privacy of your heart, if you would just open up to the Lord, Lord, at any moment, look, I'm struggling. I need to hear your voice. Well, if you get in it, he'll speak to you and things like that. Yes.
Yeah. I have something. I didn't know this was going to happen today the way you're doing this, but this morning the Lord seemed to give me a letter to myself, and like an open letter to the body of Christ. And I kind of wrote it down. So I might read it.
Come on, keep. Come on, you got practice for next week.
Well, I'm not going to practice much. But this is something that was this is something that was inspired like by Gary last week when he was sharing out of 2 Peter, and I kind of like mulled over it all week, and then this morning I just felt like the Lord gave me this as an open letter to this fellowship and to myself, right? And it's to the disciple that Jesus loved. And that's to all of us, you know. And in 2 Peter, and this is just, I just plucked a couple verses out of that passage of Scripture. So if you want to go back and read the whole passage yourself, it's really beneficial because there's a couple references in this little letter to that. 2 Peter 1:19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That light is Christ. That dark place is me. How do we heed? By self-effort? No. By perseverance, patience, wait for the Lord, wait for His majesty, wait for the Lord. Don't try to make it happen by self-effort. Trust Him. The promise in verse 17, for He received from God the Father. You will receive. We will receive. For He received from God the Father from the excellent glory. It's not from man. It's from God the Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You, believer, are that Son. Because we're in Christ. The promise is to every believer. The day will dawn, and the morning star will rise in your heart. I have an Old Testament reference that the Holy Spirit reminded me of, Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun. That's light that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. His mercy is new every morning, and in wrath, remember mercy. Rise in my heart, morning star. Dispel the darkness in me. Trust Him by faith.
Shall we end with that and pray? Father, I said the wrong thing again. We're not ending this with prayer. Lord, we're just saying thank you here. As we continue, we're looking forward to see you live and move and have your way within us. Father, we thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for your letter. We thank you for your word. But more importantly, Lord, we thank you for Jesus and the life He's laid down for us, Lord, and the life He continues to live for us. He is our intercessor. He's our high priest. He's our all in all. So we thank you for sending your Son. And Lord, we thank you for the light and the faith you gave us to even believe. And we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.